Subway everyday value means many mouth-watering piled high favorites are $5 footlongs, like the fresh-toasted tempting meatball marinara. And made-to-your-order BLT, the $5 footlong anthem rolls on only at Subway, where great everyday value lives. Subway, eat fresh. The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the BS Report. I wish we could have done this on Monday, but unfortunately I was in transit from New York City to Los Angeles. But now we have to call my buddy Jacko, the world's biggest Yankee fan, to find out how he has reacted to the apocalyptic events for Yankee fans of the three-game Red Sox sweep at Fenway Park. Let's give him a ring.
Complex Litigation, this is John.
I'm not even giving it to you.
No. It's good. Thanks. I appreciate that.
You know what? Actually, I think I do have one in me.
Oh, Johnny, indeed.
What do you do with those, Johnny?
It's a rough one, I'll tell you.
Como se dice?
Nothing good, my friend. Nothing good.
How you feeling?
Awful.
You know what was a silver lining for you?
What's that?
I had to fly back from New York City yesterday and couldn't call you yesterday when you were probably more distraught.
Yeah, it's given me 24 hours to calm down, although they lost again last night, so I can't really say that I was much soothed, that's for sure. Plus, I'm just getting over a crippling bout of the swine flu, so that didn't help matters either.
Are you sure the Yanks don't have the swine flu?
I think they, they have some kind of a flu. I have Yankeeitis and the swine flu. I'm not doing well at all.
Well, let's recap the season so far through 3 weeks.
Oh, God.
Chin-Ming Wong went on the DL and doesn't have an injury.
No.
Let's start there.
I had to go on the DL just from watching him pitch. He does have an injury. His injury is that he can't play Major League Baseball.
Three starts.
Yeah.
Six innings.
Yeah.
23 hits. Mm. Six walks. That's 29 base runners in six innings, almost five per inning. A 4.83 whip, which is potentially historic.
Lovely.
And a 34.5 ERA. I've never remember seeing that ever. But here's the amazing thing. You have somebody on your team with a worse ERA.
Yeah.
Claggett.
Claggett.
43.2 ERA.
He came into the 22-4 game to, quote-unquote, relieve Ching Ming when he had a leave in the second inning. And let's just say Claggett didn't quite put out the fire.
He unleaved him.
Exactly.
And you know who's off the hook? Damaso Marte with the 15.19 ERA in seven games.
Right. Practically a Cy Young Award winner by comparison.
Eduar Ramirez with the 7.36 ERA.
Yeah.
Jose Veras weighing in at 6.3. Mm. Jonathan Abalala Dedejo, 5.23, and Phil Koch, 4.70.
Right.
Not a great bullpen, Johnny. One bright spot was Brian Bruni.
Right.
Who's now in the DL.
He's on the DL because he was playing catch and hurt himself. So that's always a good sign.
And then you have Mariano Rivera as the closer, whose name was just recently changed to Property of the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, the most overrated player in the history of Major League Baseball. I say that I'm not kidding.
You're standing by that. Wow.
I'm not kidding. He's the most overrated player in the history of Major League Baseball. The closer position is overrated to begin with.
Yeah.
But he is so grossly overrated and living on the past from what he did back in 96. When they could end games in the sixth inning because he could pitch the seventh and the eighth and Wetland pitched the ninth. This is the guy that blew the 2001 World Series and has blew the 2004 series to the Red Sox and is so owned by the Red Sox, it's not even funny. In his last 70 appearances, he's blown 12 games to their most hated, heated rival, games that he absolutely has to close down, has to. I don't care that he's great against the Kansas City Royals and his lights out against them. That's great. That's fantastic, Mariano. Can you do one time, one thing against the Red Sox? That game on Friday night, you have no idea how mad I was. I literally, couldn't sleep Friday night. I was so disgusted. And I took NyQuil because I'm suffering from the swine flu. And even NyQuil, which normally is like a National Geographic special of an animal getting hit with a tranquilizer gun for me, even NyQuil couldn't put me to sleep because I was so inflamed and infuriated.
Hold on, which game was that? Was that the game that Jason Bay hit the homer with two strikes and two outs?
Yeah, which is still going up, by the way.
Ninth, and then you loaded the bases in the next inning, but you couldn't score.
Well, no. We loaded the bases. Got loaded in the before that. The bases were loaded in the bottom of the eighth when they could have padded their 4-2 lead, which would have helped matters. Hmm. But their inability to get a clutch hit, which they've had for the past 10 years or so, it reared its ugly head again. It's the second time in a week because last Wednesday in the game that went to 14 innings against Oakland, they had the bases loaded with nobody out in the seventh inning of that game and again managed not to get a single run in. In that game against the Red Sox on Friday night, they were 4-18 with runners in scoring position. They are so pathetic, I can't even talk about it rationally how much I hate them. I hate everyone on this team. I have a faint flicker of fondness in my heart for Derek Jeter. Even that is waning. As I hate the team. I hate the ownership. I hate the general manager. I hate the coaches, and I hate the manager. I hate everything about them. I hate their mausoleum of a new stadium, which is a complete train wreck. I hate them. The Red Sox are so far and away beyond and better than them that it makes me sick to my stomach.
Is this a reverse jinx podcast?
No, there's not. This is exactly how – I'm not trying to pull any reverse jinx. Had you called me on Friday, I had a whole big thing planned about how I was happy the Yankees won that 14-inning game because now when they get swept by the Red Sox, at least they'll be 500. But in my heart, I really didn't mean that. Well, it turns out that exactly was the case. Not just swept, but humiliated. Humiliated and embarrassed. They left town with their tail between their legs, and they don't seem to care.
Yeah. Well, then
Jeter is the captain. I mean, I like Derek Jeter, who's always been a great Yankee, but he shouldn't be the captain because his biggest concern is what supermodel he's going to bang after the game instead of doing anything in the locker room to fire anybody up or have anybody play like a Major League Baseball player.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a problem.
They signed A.J. Burnett for $80 million, and he can't hold a 6-0 lead.
It wasn't enough runs for him.
He gives up a grand slam to Jason Veritek, who's a freaking corpse up there. I mean, honest to God.
Big comeback year for him.
Oh, my God. Honest to God.
What about your least favorite player in the major leagues, Kevin Youkilis, hitting the game winner on Friday night? How did that make you feel?
And Kevin Youkilis is now the best player in the American League. There's not a single player on the Yankees that I would not trade for Youkilis and or Pedroia. They are
really?
So far and away better than anyone on the Yankees. I would trade anyone on the Yankees to have 1/8 of the heart of Youkilis. And I despise Youkilis as much as I despise anyone on the planet. If I was in a room with a gun and Youkilis and Osama bin Laden, I'm not sure who I'd take out. So, yet he's the greatest player in the American League. It pains me so much to say that.
I think you owe Jason Bay an apology because I think he's better than anyone on your team, too.
Yeah, I think he is, too, actually, since he just won a game for him again last night.
I'm getting very close to just having to issue an apology for my stance on the Manny trade and Jason Bay in general.
I know. Could you just retract that whole Manny article that you wrote a couple months ago?
Jason Bay has a 506 on-base percentage and a 705 slugging right now.
I mean, it's...
And he's had two game winners.
It's a very likable team. They're all, like, blue-collar, salt-of-the-earth guys. Nobody's, like, a prima donna or a diva. And they just play as a team, and all they freaking do is win. Now, the Red Sox have been ridiculously lucky in a lot of circumstances because they've tried to run Mike Lowell out of town about 5 different times.
Yeah.
And all he is like one of your better players who beats the Yankees single-handedly every freaking year.
And a leader.
you tried to get Teixeira so you could run Lowell out of town, and Teixeira stinks. He's grossly overrated. He's lost there. He swings at a pitch. The Papelbon throws a 3-2 count. He swings at a ball that's at his forehead.
Mm. That's trouble.
Oh my God! If Cashman has a job by the end of this week, I'm done. Forget about it. I'm done.
I had trouble warming up to this Red Sox team because they were so businesslike and kind of charismaless, for lack of a better word.
Right.
Especially in that first West Coast trip, I was like, oh my God, really?
Right.
This is the team I have to watch for 6 straight months. I was bummed out. But I think that the Yankee series, actually, the Tim Wakefield no-hitter that he almost had.
I know, you haven't lost since then.
That kind of turned the season around. They nothing really interesting was happening. They had no mojo.
And he's another one that Red Sox fans have been trying to run out of town for about the last 5 years. All he does is win every game that he throws now.
Well, he's one of the most interesting fantasy pitchers of all time because he'll have these streaks where he'll throw six starts and he'll be just lights out. But then you have to know when to take him out. It's like almost like playing blackjack. You got to know when it just cash the chips
off.
In. And he'll have a game where he will, in the next 3 weeks, will get shelled for 10 runs and 11 hits. And his ERA will go back to where it is every year. But when he's on a streak like this, you just kind of ride him.
I mean, the Red Sox, their management is so far and away better than anything the Yankees have had for
Thanks,
years.
Johnny.
It's ridiculous. But they also are very lucky because they wanted to get A-Rod, and they got lucky by not getting him, and they got extra lucky by having the Yankees get him. They wanted to get Teixeira. Years ago, they wanted to get Jose Contreras. And in all three of those things, they got lucky by, not one, not getting him, and two, by the Yankees getting that player, which was a nightmare, as it turned out.
I would also throw in putting Manny on unconditional waivers and having nobody claim him.
Nobody claim him. That was lucky. They signed David Ortiz off the scrap heap, and he turned into Big Poppy there for a while. I mean, you know.
Well, medically, we may have helped him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the old cliche is that, you know, when you're good, you make your own luck, or whatever the cliche is. But, you know, they've been good and they've been lucky, which is a bad combination from a Yankee perspective.
Jason Veritek's having one of the weirdest years ever.
Everything he hits is a home run.
He's got four homers, but he's got 11 hits.
Yeah.
He's hitting .216, but he's got a .510 slugging.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's a little weird. Whereas Ortiz, who we're now almost a month in, has the .629 OPS and no homers.
No homers, right.
It's trouble. I'm not going to lie, Johnny. Watching him choke up for the 92-mile-an-hour fastball and try to time it, it's a concern.
Yeah, legitimately. But, I mean, you don't. Why do you need him? You're 13-6. You've won 11 games in a row.
What's going to be interesting is when they finally have to move him down the lineup. I remember when Jim Rice reached that point, and it's like, come on, it's Jim Ed. You can't move Jim Ed down the lineup. But at some point, you got to just, you know, you just have to. And he's almost there. He's like, this goes on for another 10 days, I think he's got to move down to, like, the seventh spot.
Your team just treated the Yankees like Red and the sisters treated Andy Dufresne in Shawshank. And
right.
Your biggest complaint is that, geez, it'd be sad we have to move Ortiz further down in the lineup.
Well, I got some breaking news for you, Johnny.
Oh, yeah?
I think you root for an 85-win team. I don't know if you're the main competition. I feel like we should sweep you in a home series. No offense.
You know what? The Yankees need to be blown up. They need to blow up the whole thing. They need to start from scratch. They need to just, you know, bring up some clowns from the minors. For a couple years, they're going to be awful. And maybe something happened in 2004 where the world turned upside down. I hope to God it's not the rest of my life before they win a World Series again, but it may well be at the pace the two teams are going, the two directions they're going in.
Yeah.
It may well be the rest of my life. It may be 86 years again, and I don't have 86 more years in me. So it may be the rest of my life before the Yankees ever win again. That's a distinct possibility.
Well, I got to say, for this season, the Red Sox are so built for the long haul because of their bullpen, which
Smoltz in reserve.
I know. Well, not just Smoltz, but Tozawa, the Japanese rookie that they have.
Right.
Daniel Bard, Buchholz. It's just insane depth, whereas these other teams are already running out of pitchers, and it's not even May yet. And then
right.
you look at the standings. You know, Toronto's 14-7, but their pitching staff, I just don't see how they hold up with the pitchers that they have. They don't have a single starter other than Halliday that you're even afraid of. And then Detroit's 11-8. Casey's 10-9. Seattle's 12-7. Everybody's kind of near the middle. You might see the Red Sox. They might be the only team that even has like 95-win potential.
Yeah,
in the American League. And they have 100-win potential, but
yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. They might just be able to be on cruise control and rest everybody in August and September if it goes like this.
Yeah.
I don't want to jinx it, but I'm, you know.
Warm up the duck boats for the parade.
Well, I think the National League's better this year than it has been in
I'm telling
years
you.
Past,
warm up the duck boats. It's
well,
over.
I don't know.
It's ridiculous.
We used to, the top three hitters are still hitting way above where they're going to end up, which is a concern.
I don't know. We'll see.
Well, what's the record for consecutive wins?
Just I know, yeah, really. It's in danger, I'll tell you that.
We have to go back to the Giants. That was in 26, John McGraw's New York Giants.
Oh, yeah, what did they win in a row? What's the number?
I think 26.
There you go.
Almost halfway there, Johnny.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I would argue that tonight is the biggest, single biggest game of the Yankee season.
Oh, I agree.
And we're taping this on a Tuesday. Taping this on Tuesday morning, West Coast time.
Right.
It should be up by the end of the day on Tuesday. But young Phil Hughes.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, untouchable. Would
right.
not even be considered in the Johan Santana trade.
No, couldn't part with him. My God.
He's been lights out in AAA. Mm. Had a really good spring training. Came up to replace Chin-Ming Wong, who's apparently been exiled.
Right.
And he's going against a Tigers lineup that he should do pretty well against, I'm thinking.
One would think, but I wouldn't hold my breath for it.
Well, if he throws like 7 scoreless tonight, you're feeling better. Right?
No, I don't think there's any hope. If he throws 7 scoreless and somehow Chin-Ming Wong could learn how to play baseball again, it would allow them to do the smart thing, which is to move Jabba back to the 8th inning role.
Yeah.
Because they basically turned a guy who was lights out as an 8th inning setup guy, and they made him into a mediocre starter who's a nibbler and can't throw faster than 92 miles an hour.
A decision which, by the way, never made sense at any point.
Never.
Not once. Not ever. Not once.
Not once. Not ever. We have a guy who's great at this, so let's see if we can get him to do something completely different. Makes no sense whatsoever. And they had to do it because the previously untouchable Phil Hughes and the previously untouchable Ian Kennedy turned out to be lousy.
Yep.
So that was a great decision-making all around as the plan completely changed in the course of like a year because it turned out that they couldn't perform on the field in any way, shape, or form.
Just curious, Mark Teixeira, almost to the end of the month here, he's batting .220 with .407 slugging, 3 homers.
Right.
We're expecting more.
I was.
Million. You were?
And if I hear one more time that he's a slow starter, well, guess what? When you're getting paid $180 million, maybe we can alter our off-season routine so maybe we get off to a fast start.
Yeah.
Since we're playing in New York now, and maybe there's going to be some added pressure since you signed a big deal to maybe live up to the hype. Mm-hmm. Like CC Sabathia is another one. We only paid him $160 million. He's been mediocre at best.
Yeah,
and
yes.
If I hear one more time, Joe Girardi's like, well, he's a slow starter once it warms up. Well, here's a crazy idea. They're paying $160 million. Can you maybe not be a slow starter this time out? Can we maybe start our off-season program a month earlier so maybe our body thinks that it's May and April and we don't get off to a slow start? Is that a crazy idea?
Let's talk about the cold weather, warm weather thing because I get it for somebody like Pedro in his prime. They're like, oh, yeah, Pedro, when it heats up, he's really lights out. And, yeah, he's skinny. Obviously, he's cold. He's going to be
right.
chilly. CC Sabathia was 280 pounds. What does he care if
and
it's cold?
And he grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area where it's always like in the 50s.
I would think hot weather would bother him more being an obese man.
I would think so. And I was thinking about this today. Is there any other walk of life where you can get away with, well, I'm just a slow starter? Like, could you hand in lousy columns about the NFL and that nobody read and were like, it couldn't be read by anybody?
Yeah.
And then you said to your bosses, well, I'm more of an NBA guy. Once NBA starts up, they're not really getting the swing of things. Or, like, I don't like the winter. I don't like the cold weather. Could I tell my bosses at work, like, well, in the winter, I'm not really going to do that much because I don't really like it. Once it warms up, though, there's going to be no stopping me. And I'm not getting paid $160 freaking million dollars a year.
Do you think Brett Gardner's just slow? Is he just a slow baseball player, like not even a slow starter?
Yeah. Well, Brett Gardner's not a major league player. And Joe Girardi keeps raving about his speed. Oh, he's so fast, steal a lot of bases. Well, Joe, he's going to have to get on base before he can steal them.
Yeah, they were banking coming out of the gate on Brett Gardner and Cody Ransom.
And I said, I think, in our preview issue, or at least I hope I did, that the outfield of Damon, Gardner, and Nady is not a World Series outfield.
Yeah.
And how you can have a team with a $200-plus million payroll and have no bench whatsoever, basically have no outfield and have no bullpen is mystifying to me. Mystifying.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing because those are the places where you should have an advantage. This always used to bother me about the Red Sox earlier in the decade is we would pay all this money, but then like our 22 through 25 guys were routinely just terrible. I'd be like, well, why wouldn't we have an advantage in those spots? We have more money to spend on our 22nd guy than Kansas City does. We should never have a bad 22nd guy.
Right.
They've kind of figured that out now.
Oh, like they definitely have.
Yeah, the 10th pitcher on the Red Sox is a lot better than anybody else's 10th pitcher.
Well, you guys brought in Masterson and Hunter Jones the other night, and they made the Yankees lineup look sick.
Yeah.
And it's always been an excuse for like the past, I don't know how many years now with the Yankees, that the first time they see a pitcher, they don't know what to do. They can be completely shut down. I could pitch against the Yankee lineup And my 51-mile-an-hour fastball would mesmerize them. And they'd be like, wow, O'Connell with a one-hitter. And they'd be like, well, we never saw him before. You know, we didn't know what to expect. Do the Yankees have scouts? Does the organization have scouting?
Good question. I don't know.
I mean, how can you bring up a guy from the minors like the Red Sox did and this much ballyhooed lineup? I understand A-Rod wasn't in it. But they can be mowed down by Hunter Jones, who no one's ever heard of before. And the Red Sox immediately send him back down to Pawtucket. They're like, thanks, Hunter. Good work.
Well, can you think of a better scenario if you're A-Rod?
No.
You're now coming in as the savior.
In the New York papers, everyone's like, I can't wait for A-Rod to come back. A-Rod, 2 weeks away. Did we ever think we'd be at this point? Where everyone's like, ooh, A-Rod, with every bit of baggage that he brings along with him, that you're excited for him, he's going to be the savior. The Yankee season in 3 weeks has come down to Phil Hughes and A-Rod being the two saviors.
Mm, that's really not where you want to be.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
Well, I look at A-Rod, and I look at how his comeback seems to be scheduled for what? It's second, the third part
of May? I
think
they said he's like 2 weeks away. He's starting a minor league thing, I think, this week.
Two weeks away. Interesting. Well, you've played 20 games. 2 weeks away would put him around the 35-game mark. Just throwing this out there. Let's say he came back at game 51.
Yeah.
Is that a little fishy?
What do you mean? Oh, you like there was a 50-game suspension?
Yeah, because sometimes they'll give out 50-game suspensions for things that A-Rod has admitted to in the past.
You're much more of a conspiracy theorist than I am.
I'm just saying. Remember when Clemens wasn't going to pitch and all of a sudden in game 51 he was back?
But they, I mean,
he was signing with somebody?
They do. What about his hip thing, though? I mean, he did have some sort of surgery. I suppose that could be documented somehow, but...
Really? Where are the documents?
Well, that's a good point. Well, there's the HIPAA Act, the Health Privacy Act, medical records.
I've had readers getting me fired up for the A-Rod conspiracy for about 3 weeks, and there's a couple great silver or what's the word I'm looking for?
Slivers of
smoking guns.
Oh, okay.
A couple really
silver
good
bullets.
Smoking guns.
Yes, you're thinking of, yeah.
First of all, who benefits more from just disappearing in spring training under an avalanche of media than A-Rod? With just every day, he's just deluged by everybody. It's basically 24/7 A-Rod. He's doing this. He did this. He's a bad guy. He screwed this up. Oh, my God.
Right.
And then he disappears. He just gets to walk away from all that. That always seemed a little fishy. And then the 50-game suspension thing. If A-Rod did get suspended for steroids or he did get caught, do you think Major League Baseball would... would they conspire to say, why don't you just pretend you're having a hip surgery?
No, I think they'd want to bring it out there to show, like, see, we're cracking down on the steroid problem that every member of the media, like, beats its chest about. So we're really doing something to address the biggest concern of the last decade.
Really?
Mm.
Do you think they may have done it with Clemens a couple years ago?
No. No, I don't think so. Well, I mean, that's more plausible at the time, I think, because they wanted to just dust the steroid thing, sweep the steroid thing under the rug. So at the time, it may have been like, why don't you go away for a while and we won't make it public, but we have to reprimand you in some way. That makes more sense then than it does now, because now I think they want to, transparency, they want to show that they were cracking down on steroids.
So you're saying they would have loved to have suspended A-Rod?
Yes, I think so. Because then Bud Selig could be like, look, how can you say we're not addressing the problem? We just suspended arguably our best player for 50 games. It's not like we did it to some, got the 40th man on the roster, and the 40-man roster, who tested positive in AAA. You know, we're cracking down on one of the game's biggest stars. How can you say we don't have a handle on the problem?
This is the same player who, in 2003, Bud Selig allowed to illegally negotiate with the Red Sox when he was under contract. They basically waived a whole bunch of rules so A-Rod, they could try to work it out so A-Rod.
Yeah, but that's
Boston.
Because Bud Selig is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Boston Red Sox and their ownership group, so it was to their benefit at the time. So that's why he did it. It's the same reason why Josh Beckett had a 6-game suspension until somebody woke Bud up and told him that Josh Beckett plays for the Red Sox, and then it was miraculously lowered to 5 games so he could pitch against the Yankees.
How would you rate Joe Girardi's performance on a scale of 1 to 10?
Horrific. I can't understand. That's another one. I'm not the manager of the Yankees, but I've watched enough games to know that, one, Mariano Rivera is owned by the Red Sox, and two, he's awful at 4-out saves. Anything over a 3-out save, he's shaky. So what does John McGraw do? He takes out Abeladeo, who was mowing down the Red Sox to that point in the 8th inning, with an 0-1 count. that still hasn't been explained to me why he did that, to bring in Rivera in the eighth inning so then he had to get an extra out.
It's
he probably
strange.
Gave up a bloop hit, so then he has to pitch to another batter, and then he gets lit up in the ninth.
Hmm.
I don't understand that move at all. And he's made me scratch my head a couple of times. And his post-game, if I hear one more time, or read in the paper one more time about, oh, well, it's early, and two games against the Red Sox, and things get magnified, but everything's okay, and everything's just hunky-dory, it makes me sick. It just makes me sick. And they're hitting and pitching coaches. If George Steinbrenner was still with us, they would be so fired, it wouldn't even be funny. How they can't get a clutch hit and how their pitchers refuse to throw strikes at this point in the season when this has been a continuing problem year after year after year for like the last 5 years, how that can continue and these two clowns still have their jobs is amazing to me.
Who are the two clowns?
The hitting coach is Kevin Long and the pitching coach is Dave Island.
Who
was
two
a horrific
of the greats.
Pitcher. I remember when he pitched for the Yankees and was awful, and now he's going to coach others on how to do it. God wow. Almighty. I'm just so disgusted. I mean...
All right, well, you mentioned Brian Cashman before, and this is somebody who has been overrated really for a long time.
Oh, absolutely.
And
if there was one consistent plan that it was stuck to,
yeah.
And okay, the plan doesn't work out, you have some bad breaks, but I can't see any plan at all that he has.
Well, and on top of that, it's somebody that has an awesome relationship with really every relevant baseball writer.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a lot of the TV guys, too, and has shown a really good, other than this year with the Teixeira thing, which was the first time it seemed like he kind of double-crossed some
right.
of the other guys on info, has really shown he'll take care of these guys. And, you know, I just think when GM, you know, you look at the way Belichick has been handled by the media,
mm-hmm.
who doesn't care and just looks down on the media, and they cover him appropriately for that. Not appropriately, but, you know, I think that does affect how they cover him. And I would say the opposite for Cashman and people like that, that if you're always available and you're always mm-hmm. sneaking stuff to these guys, I think they cover up some stuff.
And if your track record is, I mean, given his position where the Yankees literally have an unlimited payroll, there's no player that's beyond their means to go get.
Mm.
And you would think they would have some leverage to do some trades with other teams just for, you know, We'll eat a lot of salary in return. There's things you could do. Given the resources at his disposal, he's done a horrific job.
Yeah, like for instance, Juan Cruz. I forget, how did the Royals, not Juan, Juan Cruz, the Royals guy. Their setup guy.
Uh-huh.
I forget how they got him. I don't know if they signed him or traded him.
I'm not sure.
I'm looking it up right now. I can't remember. But that's the type of guy that you have this reliever who's obviously good. Or say even Ramon Ramirez, the guy the Red Sox got from Kansas City in the Coco trade who's
right.
been lights out.
Yeah.
So you say to the Royals, we'll take Ramon Ramirez and we'll also eat the second year Jose Guillen's contract.
Exactly.
And you take this. And now
yeah.
you have this champion setup guy.
Exactly.
That's what I don't understand. That's how they should be spending their money instead of just throwing out these giant contracts.
And I mean, last year they went out and made a trade for Damaso Marte, which I was in favor of. They needed a lefty. He supposedly was a good lefty. He comes to New York and he's terrible. He was awful the second half of last year after they
yep.
made that trade. So they promptly re-signed him to a 3-year contract.
Mm.
Now he was awful in New York. Now maybe it was that he was so good in Pittsburgh because he never faced any pressure because the minute the season starts, they're 25 games out of first place. And maybe in New York he's not made for it. So maybe we can talk to Damaso's agent and say, how about if we give him an incentive-laden, like, 1-year contract with an option? And let's
yeah.
see what Damaso can do before we lock down Damaso for 3 years.
I have a hire for you that I think you could make that would get everybody fired up.
Okay.
And if he's working for somebody, I apologize. Why wouldn't they just pay Greg Maddux, like, $11 million a year to be the pitching coach?
Greg Maddux?
Yeah, just say, hey, Greg. Here's $11 million.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know.
Help everybody we have. You are supposedly the smartest guy to have in the bullpen and in the dugout of anybody who's ever pitched. Here's $11 million to help us out this year. Why wouldn't they do that?
Well, I don't know. He's a guy that's never done it before. I wish there was somebody like...
Everybody who's ever played with him has said, thank God for Greg Maddux and John Smoltz. These two guys have made me a million times better.
And look, I've never been a major league player, so I don't. In reality, I don't really know how much difference a pitching coach makes. But I have to blame their inability to pitch in New York on somebody. So it might as well be the pitching coach. They had Ron Guidry as the pitching coach, who was, you know, he was halfway decent. At least he was Ron Guidry. He was the Gator. He was a Yankee, you know.
Yeah.
And they ran him out of town because they're like, there was questions in the organization about his ability to be the pitching coach. Mm. And we had to bring in Dave Long Island, who's such a genius.
Yeah.
And we bring him
good
in,
career.
And the pitching staff that was supposed to be their strong point is an absolute abomination. It's a train wreck. So something tells me that Dave Island doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
Mm.
And how you have a hitting coach who's this genius hitting coach and work with these guys in the minors, yada, yada, and they can't get a freaking clutch hit. They can't get a run in with the bases loaded and nobody out. They can't manufacture a run. They can't hit a fly ball. Not once, but twice in the span of 5 days. How they can go 4-for-18 in a game against their most heated rival with runners in scoring position. Over the past five games, they've hit 157 with runners in scoring position, which was a problem they had last year and the year before and the year before that.
How afraid are you of Bobby V?
Oh, my God. I didn't even think of that. Oh, my God. That would really be like the...
My Uncle Ricky threw that one out to me. I got excited about it.
Oh, my God. No, that's the last thing in the world I want. I can't stand him.
Can't you see it, though? Can't you kind of see it?
Is there any hope that Detroit will fall out of it and somehow Jim Leland would be available next year? See, I like a Jim Leland, like smoking cigarettes, like an old-school baseball guy. You know, that's what I want. I don't want Joe Girardi and his computers, which apparently are not working very well, and this, you know, just overthinking and overmanaging the hell out of things.
Last thing we have to discuss as you...
wallow in my misery.
As you bear your soul to America.
Yeah.
New Yankee Stadium. Mm. I'm going to say it's a mistake to build a new stadium and then price the seats to the point that they're all empty around home plate.
Oh, my God. It's such an atrocity. And when you open this big new $1.5 billion palatial, quote-unquote, cathedral of baseball, and the biggest story in the press about it is how, geez, it looks awful on TV how there's all these empty seats. And even the players commented on it. I think that you might have made a couple of mistakes along the way. Now, even in a good economy of, you know, before last year or a couple of years ago, $2,600 seats are just ridiculous. It's just absolutely ridiculous to put in a stadium and have seats for $2,600 so that the only people in there are these corporate types that don't have any interest in cheering or create no home field advantage.
You've killed your home field advantage. In fact, I sent you an email about 2 weeks ago thanking you for killing your home field advantage.
Right. And now
killing
to do that
it.
In a good economy is idiotic. Now to open a stadium in a horrific economy and have those seats is criminal. I mean, it's just criminal negligence is what it is.
Well, here's what I'll get. The Dodgers, I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. The Dodgers were the first team to put these premium seats. They actually, because they had so much room behind home plate, they actually built a few rows of seats and gave them obscene prices and nice seats, and you could go underneath and charge really high prices for them. And, you know, they sold some tickets, but if you watch Dodger games, there are always empty seats.
Right.
It's kind of depressing. It's
exactly.
Like, hey, we're watching this game. I'm a Dodgers fan. I'm watching this game on TV, and there are no fans behind the batter.
Right.
For whatever reason, other teams decided this was a great idea and started ripping it off. Let's do this. Hey, who's that team that has all the empty seats that you can see on TV?
And, you know, I read or heard on the radio or something that the Yankees have 104 seats that go for $2,600, and they've actually sold 84 of them. But then they have another level of seats that are like $800, and those are the ones that are blaringly empty.
Right.
Because there's like, you know, there's super high rollers that are like, sure, I'll shell out $2,600 to, you know, as a status symbol. But there's some level of fan between the $100 seat and the $2,600 seat, like the $800 seat. There's no market whatsoever for that, none. And those are the ones that they've chosen to have a plethora of, you know, ringing in the infield that are just, you know, obviously empty.
Like they said. They said Lorne Michaels has seats.
Really? He's probably got $2,600 ones.
Yeah, but how many Lorne Michaels are there?
Well, that's just it, yeah.
How many Lorne Michael level fans are the Yanks going to have?
Well, I mean, they were counting on, you know, Wall Street executives and big-time, you know, bond guys. And
good plan.
You know, yeah, it didn't quite work out that way because then Wall Street collapsed, you know?
Yeah.
So hedge fund guys, and obviously those took a bath too, so that
and
was
since
their
it
plan.
Didn't work that way... And by the way, the economy turned last August.
Yeah,
plenty
exactly.
of time to figure out the pricing.
Right, before the stadium didn't open until April, and season ticket plans probably didn't go on sale till November, December, right?
I like, I like Commissioner and Red Sox fan Bud Selig had some nice quotes about I think those seats might be priced too high. We might have to change that. It's like, really, Bud? That's your expert opinion?
Thanks, Bud.
Might want to not have empty seats in your signature stadium.
Yeah, you think? Really?
The responses seem to be mixed. I've gotten some people loved it.
Uh-huh.
I've had friends go. I've had readers go. Some people loved it. They loved having, you know, a modernized stadium and food, and you could walk around and see the game as you walk around. And other people just said it was like kind of like soulless.
Really?
It was like, as you said, a mausoleum.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was a weird lack of energy. That if that's the way it is the first 2 weeks, you can only imagine what it's going to be like in August.
Ugh, I know, especially when the team is like 500, which is all we can probably hope for at this point.
I also want to know how Citi Field and New Yankee Stadium both have obstructed seats in this.
Yeah, I don't get that either. How you can do that? I agree. Yeah, that's a great point too.
What kind of an architectural failure have you just committed when you have built a new stadium that has obstructed seats?
It's not 1920. We can put a man on the moon, and yet we can't build a stadium without a pillar in front of you. I don't get that. You know, and plus, you're spending $1.5 billion, and really, you have to design it in some way that there's like a I can't see part of the field. Really?
Yeah.
For $1.5 billion.
Not good. How about the fact that they never did whatever wind tests or whatever needed to happen,
yeah,
and they didn't realize they built Coors Field?
Yeah, that's the other thing. You can't have balls flying out of there. Everything hit the right field is a home run.
Yep.
You just can't design. I mean, again, for $1.5 billion, I would think that there'd be some engineering studies or some sort of scientists or would be hired to look into that and say, like, you know, it's going to basically play the same way as the old one, right? Right? Anyone? Any thoughts?
Well, here's your biggest stretch of the season coming up.
Oh, good.
You got 3 at Detroit.
Yeah. 0-1.
You have, well, you already lost.
Right.
And then you have Hughes versus Edwin Jackson, who's been surprisingly decent.
Sure.
Actually, not surprising because we drafted him in my fantasy league. Jabba's going against Porcello.
Mm, great.
Who is the upcoming flamethrower. Well, he's probably should have been the number one pick a couple years ago. Then you have four at home against the Angels.
Yeah.
The Angels are throwing out the following 4 starters against you. Lou, Ortega, Weaver, and Saunders.
Yeah. Not exactly the 1970 Orioles rotation.
Then you have 2 against Boston.
Yeah.
And then 2 against Tampa.
Right.
So that's 3, 4, 5.
All quality teams, by the way, even though the Angels and the Rays have bad records, they're good teams.
So those are 10 games against all good teams. I disagree with you that the Angels are good. I think they're mediocre. But
all right. They may have suffered too much tragedy.
But they've always done well against the Yankees.
Always. Own them.
So, yeah, I would say you don't want to be – you're 9-10 right now. I don't think you want to be 13-16 going into mid-May.
Oh, I'm telling you, that's what they're going to be, my friend. There's no sign of them having any heartbeat that they're going to go on some sort of a run now.
Right.
Their bullpen is horrific. Johnny Damon is hurt now. Bruni was the one bright spot in their bullpen. He's on the DL for a month. So where are the positive signs out there? Phil Hughes, you know, God knows, they have this guy, Mark Melancon, everyone's all excited about because he pitched 2 good, meaningless innings against the Red Sox the other night. He's the great hope of the future. I've heard that song before, so I'll believe that when I see it consistently.
It'll all get better when Bobby V takes over. You'll feel so much better.
Don't even joke about it.
Guy's been to a World Series, Johnny.
Don't even joke about that.
Could change the climate. He's won in Japan.
And if Bobby V is the manager, you're going to call me up and say, "Oh, Johnny," and I'm just going to be sobbing on the phone. You're going to hear my racking sobs.
We could be there. Give me a scale 1 to 10 this week. How worried you are?
150.
So we'll call that a 10.
This is the second time that you've done this, and I think the first week I was like a 1 or 1
right.
and a half. I've gone from 1 to 1.5 to 150 in like 2 weeks. Oh, my God. This Red Sox series, that game Friday, and the only game I saw was Friday night. That just took so much out of me.
You didn't see the steal of home on Sunday?
No, I couldn't bring my – Saturday night, my wife and I went out for the night, so I could – with a bunch of people. So I didn't watch any of the game, but I knew there was a 6-0 lead, and then I was with some Red Sox fan friends, so we were monitoring the game on my BlackBerry, much to my chagrin. 16-11, like I was just...
Well, I'm furious because I was supposed to go to Boston last week, and I ended up staying in New York, but I was going to go to Boston for Game 5 of the Bruins-Canadian series. The Bruins freaking sweep. I mean,
right.
I'm so excited. It's fantastic. We swept the Canadians. That trumps everything, but... I could have been at Game 5, and it just got cruelly yanked away. And then the next night, I was going to be there for Yankees-Red Sox, and I could have seen somebody steal home, which was really on my bucket list of things to see in person. To see somebody steal home in a Major League Baseball game. We went to a game where we saw an inside-the-park home run where the guy got knocked out by the throw at home plate. Remember that one?
I do remember that. Mark McLemore, I think.
Mark McLemore. I'll never top that, but seeing Jacoby Ellsbury steal home in a Yankees-Red Sox game would have come damn close. I didn't get to see it. So that was the one downer on me, for me. But other than that, all right, Johnny.
Friday night's game just ruined me. Just absolutely ruined me. Because I was, like, all along, I thought they were going to win that game.
Mm.
And they had the lead, and Mariano, it just shattered me. It really did.
Well, Johnny, I'd tell you to hang in there, but I wouldn't mean it.
No, and it wouldn't matter anyway.
We'll talk to you next week.
All righty.
Okay, bye-bye.
Later.
So I get the sound off.
Whoa!
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.
You laughed, you cried, you turned up the sound repeatedly, and now it's all over. This concludes another installment of the BS Report. And with all the talk about sports, Bill Simmons neglected to mention this important just breaking news.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin.
The $5 foot-long anthem rolls on with Subway Everyday Value. So many of your Subway favorites are $5 foot-longs, like that Tastetacular Spicy Italian $5 foot-long and the piled ridiculously high BLT $5 foot-long, both made to your order on the freshly baked bread of your choice.